Happy to have in studio this morning with us Commissioner Ted Kahlo. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, Craig. How you doing today?
We're doing okay. I wasn't even sure. I kind of jokingly said, I don't know if the commissioner's going to be here today, because you have your big sort of Fat Tuesday kind of Friends of Ted Kahlo event that goes on every year. How many years has this been taking place now?
Yesterday was the 12th annual. Wow. So yeah, it's a real good turnout. It's nice to have friends and supporters show up, and Fat Tuesday is just a fun time. I've been to New Orleans a couple of times, and that's sort of where it evolved from, and so it was a really nice turnout. Jack Lope always does a very nice job.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to see, and kind of during these winter months, you know, sometimes it's you're right into the what's going on in the county, and sometimes you don't kind of get the little bit celebration and kind of fun, loosen things up a little bit.
Well, I think the turnout was so nice last night because everybody got tired of being stuck in their houses for four or five days. We're in balmy Lorain County today at 12 degrees.
Exactly. So yesterday, Fat Tuesday celebration. Today, what? Are you going to go to is it Commissioner Kukoski's birthday?
Big day. Commissioner Kukoski's birthday. I could never tell you how old she's going to be, except 10 years ago when we first got in office, she had her 40th birthday party. So.
Well, that's a way to do it as a politician, kind of get the answer out there without really, you know, plausible deniability, I guess, is a way you can kind of say that as well. We wish her a happy birthday as well. Well, we brought you in just to kind of get an idea of some things that are going on. You have a new partner in the commissioner's group, Matt Lundy. How's things been working out so far with
Commissioner
Matt?
Lundy's jumped right in, both feet in. He's working on the transportation issue. I know you had him on here a couple weeks ago, and he's, you know, just right there. I mean, he has not missed a beat from leaving the state house. He's brought that experience. He understands the issues on a global issue from a statewide issue, and then how that becomes part of our local issue. And he's really taken a hold of and grabbed onto that transportation issue. It's disappointing that we haven't been able to support that, because it's so important to our seniors, our youth, the people who can't afford a car but need to get to work. So we really need to concentrate on shoring up that transportation issue.
In your time as a commissioner, that's an issue that kind of comes to the front and then sort of fades a little back. So it's always been something that in there on.
Well, I think as Matt spoke, you know, we're the largest transit system in the state of Ohio that doesn't have a dedicated revenue stream. It just was county general fund money. And as the recession hit and the state took our local government fund money, there was no money to support transit, which isn't a mandated service to provide. You know, we still have to provide the courts, the jail, indigent attorneys. There has to be a recorder, a clerk of courts, an auditor, a prosecutor. So the money goes there, and it's not for, I hate to call them extras, but for the non-mandated services we'd like to provide.
Right. Over time, though, voters have not opened up their wallets to more transportation money. Do you see that changing?
Well, there's a coalition being built now. Again, Commissioner Lundy hosted the event 2 weeks ago at the college that we had 100 people show up on a blizzard. So hopefully we can get some community spirit built up around the importance of transportation and hopefully find a way to fund it.
What would you like to see done with it?
I've got a million ideas in regards to transportation. We really need to have a full transportation department. We need to run our buses all over the county, which then allows us to do the dial ride service under the federal rules. The dial ride is the pick up and drop off, dialysis, doctor's appointments. You know, it's not cab service, but it's for needy people. And you can then go and pick them up at their home so they don't have to stand at a bus stop. I mean, who wants their 80-year-old grandmother who has to make her doctor appointment standing outside in weather like this to get on a bus for transportation? So, I mean, we need a full transit system. And it's going to take a few million dollars of local money to make that happen, because the money just about triples coming back from federal and state matches. At that point, we have bypassed, I think through the end of 15, will be about $12 million in transportation money that we've had to return that other counties have gotten. So Lake County, Cuyahoga County's RTA, Medina Transit, they're really happy with Lorain County, and they thank us all the time when I'm at my NOAACA meetings about letting them have so much of our money.
So you need a dedicated stream. That's how you look at it.
That's how we need a dedicated stream to fund transit, to bring in all those additional dollars to provide transportation for our residents.
It seems like, just from your experience and the time you've been in office, I mean, you just mentioned NOAACA and, you know, all of these other agreements with the federal government and so on and so forth. There's a lot to learn as a county commissioner from the day you stepped in there.
Oh, yeah, and still a lot to learn yet. It never ends. Every day the rules change. They say my job is not only representing the county at meetings and approving agendas on Wednesdays, I spend a lot of time reading That's like just reading the regulations and trying to interpret what they mean so you can turn those the best way as an advantage for the residents.
Speaking of your meetings, you have one this morning.
Yes, Wednesday mornings, 9:30 at the County Administration Building, fourth floor.
We have the agenda here, and someone, Robert Ives, went to our Facebook page yesterday and said, why are commissioners' meetings at 9:30 on Wednesdays? He didn't elaborate, but he just asked.
Well, one of the reasons versus to explain, and that's a great question, you have city councils who meet in the evenings. Mayor's form of government and a city council, and they're dealing with people's roads necessarily or garbage pickup. It's a more constituent-driven position as a councilor or mayor. A board of county commissioners, our number one responsibility is fiduciary. We're responsible for the county budget. So everything we do is working hours. Unless we don't have a lot of direct lines to the residents, if someone needs a public service like Department of Job and Family Services, child support, something like that, they go to the Job and Family Services Department. They don't come to the commissioners unless there's a problem. If they're going to court, they're either at the prosecutor's or the clerk of courts. It's a daytime thing, so we interact more with the elected officials and their staffs than we do directly with residents. So let's something like the Nexus Pipeline is real big right now. We've got a major concern out in our underdeveloped areas where they're talking a 36-inch to 42-inch gas pipe to bring the fracking gas up. Well, a lot of this on how it's going to run goes through a lot of our residents' yards. I mean, it's kind of, do you want a 42-inch pipe in your backyard necessarily? It's full of gas, especially after Lorain County had the issue in Wellington a couple years ago with the Sunoco blow-up. So that's where we have a direct constituent interaction, but most of our stuff is during the day where we need all the staff people there to present their issues. If you look through our budget, and it's a short one this week, but, you know, if there's a discussion on what the appropriations are, you need a department person there. It's not necessary to have an evening meeting. We've tried those in the past, but to have everybody's staff show up in the evening to interact with the commissioners, it just doesn't, it's not as much of a, you know, boy, how's it? It doesn't interact directly with the residents.
Right.
We interact with all their departments, and then those departments have the interaction directly with the constituent.
On today's agenda, you have a 9:45 presentation from Big Brothers Big Sisters. How does a group like that get on the agenda, and like in this case, what might they be asking for or talking about?
Well, today, Boys and Girls Club, 9:45, you call our clerk, Teresa Upton, and she will put you on the agenda as a presentation. Almost all of the levy-funded entities come and do presentations. You know, their updates on what they've done for the year. Any fiscal issues, promoting their events, whether it's developmental disabilities and Dr. Amber Fisher, whether it's Charlie Neff and mental health, whether Scott and Children's Services, they all come and present. And they won. So we do televise all of our meetings. They're on the College Channel on Saturday, I believe at 11 o'clock in the morning, and Sunday evening at 10 or 11 o'clock. But people present so everyone can see what they're doing. Boys and Girls Club here are going to talk about their upcoming events, what they're planning for this year. So, no, that's Big Brothers Big Sisters. Excuse me, not Boys and Big Brothers Big Sisters are going to be talking about their events this year. And Lee State does a great job with that organization.
Sure, yeah, exactly. We're talking with Lorain County Commissioner Ted Kahlo, who a friend of you on Facebook. And as many commissioners or county officials, you kind of use that to keep in touch with your constituents, just let people know what's happening in the county as well as other things, too. How important is that sort of interaction with these different types of social media?
Social media has changed the face of politics and government because now you are constantly in touch with your elected official. If I want to get a message to Mayor Rittenhour or Mayor Brenda, they have a social media, and that automatically goes to your phone. You see those right now. Somebody's asking you a question, or they've left you a message, they want something addressed. So it's really changed. It's more constant. It's like the news. I mean, we used to, you know, wait to read the newspaper the next day. Right now it's on your phone. You're seeing everything as it happens, good, bad, and otherwise. So, I mean, it's become a significant tool in communications from the political side and, of course, campaigning and also from disseminating information.
Right.
For residents to know what's going on.
Do many times you absorb it before you respond? Because many times that's the other thing is sort of the knee-jerk or the quick reaction of something where I think I should have had more time to kind of consider certain things.
Well, I had a good friend of mine a long time ago when I got into government, and he said, when you're going to respond, write your response and then throw it away and think about it. So they tend to do that because some people, I mean, they get excited about what they do. But then when you get the people, when you do take care of something, I mean, I get the messages back where residents dealt with one of our staff people, and they just thankful for what gets done when they get bogged up in the system. Let's be honest. Government's a lot of paperwork, and sometimes paperwork gets misplaced, and there's human error, and there's a large volume. We've got less people than we've ever had working in government. So the people, the employees that are still there are doing a lot more work, so things happen.
Right.
So, and we've got very good support staff who are able to help our residents work through the departments to fix those issues.
It almost takes place of what would be a barbershop general store where maybe a politician would come in and chat a little bit with somebody, get information on it, and then kind of be able to sort of, you know, start to touch that constituent, handshake them. There it's now it's through a either a like or some other kind of a information that way, too. The website for the county is also, I think, quite useful, too.
We're updating it, and it's getting updated, www.lorainecounty.us. We've had the same platform for a decade, and it's getting sort of worn, and there's more information to get, and there's more links that can – so we're just going through an update on that. Hopefully you have that done by summertime.
I'm amazed at how many things kind of come through the commissioner's office, you know. If I want to find out things about, like, what's happening with the Solid Waste Management District, it's off of there. If there's other, maybe even some festivals or other things like that. So what is a clearinghouse in this ordinance?
Oh, well, other than the other elected officials' offices, people don't, because people ask, what do you do as a commissioner? They don't know what we do.
Right.
Other than being, you know, in charge of the budget, which everybody complains about one way or the other, we also are in charge of the dog kennel, solid waste, as you said, all the recycling. Emergency management, homeland security. You've had Tom Kelly up here plenty of times. When things go wrong, the county comes out and oversees those operations. We have a multitude of departments that people don't necessarily, again, not a touch to the commissioners, but they go, yeah, we've got a recycling center. People love to recycle. Our recycling numbers are through the roof since we opened the facility. Our director, Keith Bailey, is doing a fantastic job with his staff. And people go, oh, that's you? That's the commissioners? Because they see something that says Lorain County Health Department, and they're going, well, you have the health department. Well, no, we don't. They're a separate entity. They're not part of the county commissioners. Or you have Lorain County Sewer and Drain. You know, the Lorain County name gets used, but it's not always the county commissioners.
But there are a lot of things that you're responsible for.
We have the rest of it, correct.
And I, you're speaking from the, obviously being one of the three. How well do you think a county commission works for a county?
It works very well in 86 of them out of the 88 counties. There's been a lot of talk about doing some charter reform. I don't see that issue here in Lorain County. We don't have the issues. Both of the other ones were driven by the residents out of corruption issues. Summit County, Akron in the mid-80s, and then what happened in Cuyahoga a few years back. But in 86 of 88 counties, it works fine.
Of course, this county is quite diverse.
Yes, it is.
It's like you can, as I was telling Craig yesterday, we went on a little Punchki patrol delivering some things. And we went to different parts of the county. And if you're if you get off some of the major roads and get into some of the neighborhoods, you're thinking, oh, this is a whole different area. I've not seen this before. There's still, you know, all sorts of unexplored areas. How do you keep with what's going on in all of that?
Well, we get a lot of information. The other elected officials, township trustees, mayors, city council people, village mayors and council, they give us a lot of information. Again, we're talking electronically. You've got all the minutes from township association meetings, council minutes. They're all available on everyone's website. And I always say Lorain County is a microcosm of the country. We've got the extremely rural and undeveloped areas. We have the more developed rural areas. Then we have our villages, the Wellingtons, the Kiptons, the Sheffields. And then we have our urban areas, which are our cities. So, and we've got our suburbs, Avon Lake. We're a microcosm of the country. If you put us all together, we're very diverse, as you said. Ethnic, I mean, we have a good mix of many ethnicities. I mean, the city of Lorain's the international city. So, I mean, we've got a good blend. So when I go places, I was in D.C. last week for the county on some business, National Association of Regional Councils, transportation issues, and meeting with federal departments. And you start talking to people, how well-known Lorain County and the Cleveland metropolitan area is known across the country when you start talking to these people. So it's kind of neat interacting in how well we respect our, knowing we've had our issues, our troubles, as all industrial cities have. But you, Jay Williams, the former mayor of Youngstown, is now the deputy secretary for HUD. So, I mean, he's speaking at one of these events, and he's just Youngstown, Ohio, and just a dialogue back and forth. And I think it's a well-respected area nationally, as can be seen. Republican National Convention's coming in a year and a half. They'll be here. So, I mean, there's respect throughout the country on what the region can do, because we have to speak regionally. We can't just speak. It's just not about Lorain County or Medina County or Lake County. It's how we all interact together, because 40% of our residents in Lorain County cross a border to get out of here to go to work every day. And then we get the other counties, their people come here. So we work regionally. And people see how Northeast Ohio is struggling and how they're coming back now. I mean, we have some wonderful things going on here. And it's going to be even a better year this year.
Rest of this year, what are you looking forward to?
Well, again, the transportation issue we started out on. But this year I get to serve NOAC, our Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is the federal dollars for five counties for road work, working very hard with them, trying to get more of the fair share for Lorain County. We've got a new director who was hired in a couple years ago, Grace Colucci. She's doing a very good job, and we've transformed the organization that it's more hands-on by all the elected officials. It's a board of 45 elected officials. But in the past, we had a monthly governing board meeting. Everybody got together. They voted on everything. It was like a rubber stamp, more staff-driven. Now, we meet quarterly as a governing board to approve projects, but now every month, you have to serve on a committee. So now there's more engagement. So I see us getting more road money, getting more improvements done. 57's got a couple years before it's done. Mayor Gillick in North Ridgeville is really pushing on the Route 20, trying to get that funded. There's a lot of money there. We just got funding on a project in Lorain, a little bit over $5 million for the Cooper Foster widening between the Burger King on Cooper Foster down by the Tractor Supply all the way up to Oberlin Avenue, full three lanes, which has been on the books for a long time, which would be nice to get that uncongested. I mean, we've got a lot of issues in transportation I'm really working on, not only from the transit side, but also the road improvements, because we have to fix our infrastructures.
Right.
You can't attract people here if you don't have good roads, sewers. If you can't flush a toilet somewhere to drive, it's kind of hard to attract a company here.
I remember even going back to the Mike White administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were fearful of people moving out here.
Right.
And that issue has kind of, it's been there. Do you see it still prevalent? Is it still, you know, do the people in NOAACA from Cuyahoga County, especially the city of Cleveland, view Lorain County as maybe a little bit of a threat?
Not anymore. If you take the city of Cleveland into itself, they are building so many residential units. They're like 98.5% full on all the residential units and building more. So our youth, the millennials, are flocking back to the cities. The only issue comes when there's the sprawl out into their communities is how you're going to pay to fix all the infrastructure. I mean, Avon has just exploded. Mayor Jim Smith has done a great job out there, worked on the Lear-Nagel interchange. We almost blew up NOAACA and Lorain County almost left. It's quite contentious. It had no effect on the city of Cleveland. Probably more of an effect on Westlake between Crocker Park and the Avon Commons. But all the road needs out there, you got to keep expanding the roads. So how are you going to pay for those dollars as you increase the inventory? That's more the issue nowadays, and how we're going to save our older urban cities who have major infrastructure issues. I mean, you go down West 25th Street in Cleveland, you can't move. I mean, it can never get any wider because all the buildings on it. So, I mean, you have to maintain those roads. You have to still maintain traffic to get everybody into the city to get their jobs. So, yeah, we don't have that competitive nature that people are leaving. I think it's a known fact. People live where they want to live. They let their children go to school where they want them to go to school at. And we as government are there to provide the services that makes it best for them to do it while also trying to be responsible with taxpayers' dollars. Again, as you add volume of roads, that's just more maintenance. More money, and down the road, there's less and less dollars.
Right.
Maybe someday they can get a road surface that'll stay without chuck holes and potholes and everything else.
But I think that's called the South.
I think so, yeah. I drive down part of Elyria, and there's a moment of a road where you see it has peeled away, and there's brick underneath it.
Yes.
So you know how old these roads have been and how long they've been trying to...
Those are gentrified neighborhoods, yeah. Bruce.
That's exactly right. Our Commissioner Ted Kahlo, thank you for stopping in this morning.
Appreciate it. Wish you had more time to talk about some more things.
Lots of things going on in the county.
Yep. It's,